Espionage, thieves, rebellion. These aren't just the stuff of spy novels and historical dramas. They're also key ingredients to the captivating story of tea, the plant behind this seemingly innocuous beverage enjoyed by billions across the globe. Has a surprisingly dramatic past filled with daring exploits, clandestine operations, and acts of defiance. From the misty mountains of ancient China to the bustling harbors of colonial America, the journey of tea is a tale of global power struggles, cultural exchange, and even a bit of skullduggery. I'm Megan Brame, and on this episode of The History of Plants, we'll explore the intriguing history of tea, from its legendary origins to its role in shaping nations. Part 1, The Botanist Emperor. Like many plants with a long and rich history, tea has its own set of captivating legends surrounding its discovery. The most famous of these tales involves the mythical Chinese emperor Shen Nong, who is said to have reigned around 2737 BCE. According to the legend, Shen Nong was a renowned herbalist and scientist and was experimenting with different plants when some leaves from a wild tea bush accidentally fell into his boiling water. He drank the brew and found it refreshing. No surprise. This is the legendary origin of tea. Beyond the realm of myth, archaeological evidence suggests that tea was being cultivated in China as early as the Han Dynasty, around 206 BCE to 220 CE. It's likely that tea was discovered and used gradually, perhaps in indigenous communities in the mountainous regions of what is now southwestern China, who recognized its stimulating and medicinal properties. But the story of tea doesn't end with its humble beginnings. From these early, perhaps accidental, encounters with the tea plant, a rich and complex culture would emerge, shaping not only Chinese society, but eventually influencing the world. Part 2, the rise of Chinese tea culture. From its humble beginnings, perhaps discovered by accident, tea quickly rose to prominence in Chinese society. It wasn't just a drink, it became an integral part of Chinese culture, influencing everything from art and literature to philosophy and daily rituals. During the Tang Dynasty, from 618 to 907, tea cultivation and consumption began to flourish. Tea plantations were established and sophisticated methods for processing tea leaves were developed. And different varieties of tea began to emerge, each with its own unique flavor profile. But it was during the Song Dynasty from 960 to 1279 that tea culture truly reached its zenith. Tea drinking became a refined art form with elaborate tea ceremonies and rituals gaining popularity. Imagine gatherings of scholars and artists delicately preparing and savoring tea, discussing poetry, painting, and deeper meanings of life. Tea houses sprang up in cities and towns, becoming social hubs where people could gather, exchange ideas, and enjoy a moment of tranquility. They are very much like the French salons of the past. Tea also played a significant role in Chinese literature and philosophy. Poets wrote about the beauty of tea gardens and the subtle nuances of tea flavors. Philosophers saw tea as a symbol of harmony and balance, reflecting the Taoist principles of nature and simplicity. Tea even influenced Chinese art, with beautiful tea bowls, tea caddies, and other tea-related objects becoming highly prized works of art. The reverence for tea in Chinese culture went beyond mere enjoyment. It became a way of life. It became a symbol of refinement and a source of inspiration. Tea permeated every aspect of Chinese society, from the imperial court to the humblest of homes, and it was this deeply ingrained tea culture that would eventually spread beyond China's borders, transforming the world. Part 3, tea travels east and west. So, tea started in China, but it didn't stay there. It began to travel, carried by those who saw its value. First, it went east to Japan and Korea. Japan really took to tea and transformed it, turning the act of drinking it into a deeply spiritual and aesthetic experience. The Japanese tea ceremony, Sado, became a refined art form. Zen Buddhist monks were key to this, believing tea aided meditation and brought clarity. The ceremony itself, if you've never seen it, it's a marvel. It's a carefully orchestrated sequence of actions from the preparation of the tea to the serving and the drinking, all done with a focus on simplicity, tranquility, and respect for nature. Think of the beautiful, minimalist tea rooms, the precise movements, all done with a focus on simplicity, tranquility, and a respect for nature. In Korea, tea also found a place of honor, particularly within the royal court and the Buddhist temples. While perhaps not as elaborate as Japan, tea rituals in Korea emphasized hospitality and respect. Sharing tea became a way to connect with guests and show them genuine warmth. Then, the world beyond Asia began to discover tea. European explorers and traders venturing further east encountered this intriguing beverage for the first time and were enthralled. Portuguese merchants were among the first to bring tea back to Europe in the 16th century. Back then, tea was incredibly rare, consequently incredibly expensive. It became a luxury that only the wealthiest could afford, making it a symbol of status and refinement. But as tea routes expanded and the powerful British East India Company gained more control over the tea trade, tea became more widely available. It was still, you know, fairly costly commodity, but its popularity grew steadily. Tea houses began to spring up in European cities, particularly in London, becoming fashionable gathering places. They weren't just places to drink tea, but they were also became hubs, like in China. But like China, they also became hubs for social interactions, business dealings, and intellectual discussions. The British in particular developed a profound and enduring love for tea. It became deeply ingrained in their daily routines, social customs, and even their national identity. Think of afternoon tea, a ritual that persists to this day, but this increasing popularity also sets the stage for future conflicts. Competition for control of this tea trade and the political tensions that arose from it would soon lead to dramatic events. Part 4, the tea thief. Now, I've talked about how tea traveled to Europe, but for a long time, the best tea, the most sought-after varieties, still came from China. The British, with their insatiable thirst for tea, were determined to break China's monopoly, and this was no ordinary trade war. It became a battle for economic dominance, fueled by the staggering profits of the tea trade. But this battle was also deeply intertwined with another, far more controversial trade, opium. Very briefly, the British East India Company had been aggressively pushing opium into the Chinese market, leading to widespread addiction and social unrest. This led to the Opium Wars, which were a series of conflicts that exposed the deep tensions and power imbalances between Britain and China. The First Opium War, which ended in 1842, forced China to open more ports to British trade and cede Hong Kong. And this victory emboldened the British, who were now even more determined to break China's remaining trade monopolies, including the lucrative tea trade. It was in this climate of political tension and economic ambition that Robert Fortune embarked on his daring mission. Robert Fortune, though, he wasn't just any botanist. He was a skilled plant hunter and a master of observation with a keen understanding of Chinese culture. He had already made a name for himself by introducing numerous plants from China to Europe, making multiple trips over 18 years for the Royal Horticultural Society, then just called the Horticultural Society. In 1848, the British East India Company recognized his unique abilities and hunted him down, working on a deal to send Fortune on a clandestine mission to China to steal tea plants and the secrets of tea cultivation. This was no easy task. China closely guarded its tea knowledge as a matter of national security, and foreigners were strictly limited in their movements. Fortune, however, was a resourceful man and a master of disguise. He shaved his head, donned traditional Chinese clothing, and even learned to speak several Chinese dialects. This allowed him to travel deep into tea-growing regions of China, areas that were strictly off-limits to most Europeans. Fortune meticulously documented every aspect of tea cultivation and processing. He collected tea plants, seeds, and even hired skilled Chinese workers to accompany him back to India. But, you know, it wasn't cut and dry. He faced numerous challenges, navigating treacherous mountain paths, evading suspicious officials who could have easily ended his mission, and dealing with the constant fear of being discovered. He was playing a dangerous game. One wrong move and he could be imprisoned, or worse. But Fortune succeeded. He smuggled thousands of tea plants and seeds out of China, along with invaluable knowledge about tea cultivation. His efforts laid the foundation for the tea industry in India, which would eventually rival and even surpass that of China. The economic ramifications were immense, forever shifting the balance of power in the global tea trade. Interestingly, Fortune ended up working not just for the British, but took trips to collect tea shrubs and other plants from Japan and China for the United States Patent Office, which he talks about in his last publication, the 1863 Yeddo in Peking. Fortune's travels bring up a lot of questions. Was he a hero or a thief? Was his act of industrial espionage justified? Some argue he was simply acting in the interest of the British Empire, bringing valuable knowledge and resources to his country. Others contend that he stole intellectual property and disrupted the traditional tea trade, a move that would have at the time been devastating to the Chinese economy. Regardless of how you might lean on the matter, Robert Fortune's daring mission had a profound impact on the global tea industry, forever changing the way tea was grown and traded. Part 5, the Boston Tea Party. While Robert Fortune was busy stealing tea secrets in China to bring back to Britain, a different kind of tea drama was unfolding in the New World. In the American colonies, tea was more than just a beverage, it was a symbol of British oppression. The British government, desperate to recoup the costs of the French and Indian War, had imposed a series of taxes on the colonists, including the infamous Tea Act of 1773. The Tea Act of 1773 wasn't just about taxes. It was about control, because it gave the British East India Company a monopoly on the tea trade in the colonies, effectively cutting out colonial merchants. Unsurprisingly, this enraged the colonists, who saw it as a blatant attempt to undermine their economic freedom. The slogan, "No taxation without representation," comes from this and became a rallying cry for resistance. The tension reached a boiling point, no pun intended, in Boston Harbor on the night of December 16, 1773. A group of colonists, disguised as Mohawk Indians, boarded three British ships laden with tea, and in a carefully orchestrated act of defiance, dumped 342 chests of tea into the harbor, destroying thousands of pounds of cargo. The Boston Tea Party wasn't just a spontaneous act of rebellion, it was a carefully planned demonstration of colonial anger. The Sons of Liberty, a secret society of patriots, played a key role in organizing the event. The destruction of the tea was a symbolic act. It was a powerful message to the British government that the colonists would not tolerate tyranny. The British response was swift and harsh. They passed the Intolerable Acts of 1774, which were a series of punitive measures that further inflamed colonial resentment. The Boston Tea Party, though seemingly a small act of defiance, really became a pivotal moment in the lead-up to the American Revolution. It demonstrated the colonists' determination to fight for their rights and ultimately helped ignite the flames of revolution. Part 6, the Global Tea Trade. The stories of Robert Fortune and the Boston Tea Party highlight pivotal moments in the evolution of the global tea trade. But these events were just part of a much larger narrative, a story of empires, trade routes, and the insatiable demand for a product. After Fortune's successful mission, tea cultivation expanded rapidly beyond China. India, with its favorable climate and vast land holdings, became a major tea-producing region, challenging and eventually surpassing China's dominance in the global market. Tea plantations also sprung up in other parts of Asia, Africa, and even South America, transforming the landscape and the economies of these regions. And the rise of the British Empire played a crucial role in shaping the global tea trade. British companies like the East India Company established vast tea plantations, controlled shipping routes, and dominated the distribution of tea throughout the world. Tea became a heavily sought-after commodity in the global economy, fueling trade networks and generating immense, staggering wealth. Post-American Revolution, the Industrial Revolution also had a profound impact on the tea trade. Mass production techniques like the invention of the tea bag made tea even more accessible and affordable to the masses. This is also when tea brands began to emerge, competing for market share and shaping consumer preferences. But the global tea trade wasn't just about economic growth or technological innovation. It was also intertwined with colonialism, exploitation, and the displacement of indigenous populations. Because the pursuit of tea came at a high cost, leaving a complex and pretty troubling legacy. Part 7, tea's next chapter. So what about tea today? I mean, it's truly a global phenomenon. It's a multi-billion dollar industry that spans continents. China and India remain giants, but now tea flourishes in diverse landscapes, from highlands of Kenya to rolling hills in Argentina. And there's so much variety now. Black tea, green tea, artisanal blends, herbal infusions, the options are endless. How we experience tea has also evolved. While traditional tea ceremonies still hold cultural significance, convenience really reigns supreme. Tea bags, instant tea, bottled tea, they're all part of our fast-paced lives. But look, the tea industry faces challenges. Climate change is obviously disrupting traditional growing regions, making sustainable cultivation more crucial than ever, especially as tea faces some stiff competition with other beverages like coffee. But the response to this is kind of cool because it drives innovation in flavors and formats, because tea is still deeply embedded in cultures around the world. Its enduring history, from ancient legends to its role in shaping global trade, is a testament to its resilience. While this might seem a little dramatic, but if you think about it, every cup we brew really just ends up connecting us to this rich tapestry of history. And so, we've journeyed from misty mountain peaks to bustling trading ports, exploring the captivating and complex history of tea. From a simple brew in ancient China to a catalyst for revolution in America, tea has shaped economies and the course of history. Its story is of intrepid plant hunters, cunning merchants, and is a symbol of the enduring power this humble leaf has, connecting us all. I'm Megan Rame. Thank you for joining me on another episode of The History of Plants. Jump into the commentary episode on Patreon, or check out the video version of this episode on my YouTube channel, Plantrums. Until next time, greenies, stay curious, and don't forget to flourish.